Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Ephesians 1, although I think it's going to be up on the screen for you. If you haven't got your Bibles, you can still read it with me. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly Father's realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. May the Lord bless that reading to us this morning. In recent weeks, even months, we've had occasion to reflect on our expectation of Father in our daily lives. How often we go through the day and we just forget about Father and do things our own way, not seeking his power, not seeking his wisdom, his guidance, his strength, and his power to achieve that which he wants to achieve in each one of us, and to keep us from falling from grace. It's also sad, I think, that even when we've come into our Christian life, we tend to go on repeating the same old mistakes that carry us over, with certain characters and habits that come from the lives we had. We shed much of our old ways, but we still hold on to things perhaps that we shouldn't do. We either refuse to give them up, or we struggle to give them up. But we underestimate the power of the Lord, who can help us overcome. We struggle, but it really shouldn't be the case. This is not what the Father intended. This is not what Father wants. His help is at hand. We only have to look for it. Are we in any doubt still about the power that the Father has to hold us, to guide us, to feed us, to protect us? Are we any doubt that he'll provide this to each one of us? He will always help us to remain in him and walk with him. And this is what Paul was writing about here in Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you might know him better. Now, we know that by reading his word, we gain a tremendous understanding that equips us in our daily lives. But the spirit of wisdom and revelation, this is more than knowledge. But where does this wisdom and revelation come from? I think the key is in those first two words, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit that the all-powerful Father God gives to each one of us. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the spirit of truth. And that spirit of truth is there for you. that spirit, well, I assume in part, this is also the ability now, with the knowledge you have, to think about God for oneself. We've got brains. We can use them. We can read and understand, and we can develop from there. But Father, in his personal relationship with you through the Spirit, reveals more of himself to you than just the written word. It can come through times of prayer. And the more intense that times of prayer are, the more his Spirit will interject and speak to you. That's part of that time where wisdom and revelation can come to you. But it's not just prayer. It can be instantaneous. The Spirit interjecting into your daily life. Are you open to this? Do you expect this? Would it come part naturally to you in your daily life that a Spirit would just talk to you instantly? Do you think you can receive this? Or do you think it's only open to the wise and the wonderful of this world? I want to look at two occasions in our Bible where this instantaneous factor comes into it. First one you've all probably heard and read is when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to him, "Blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." This was a spirit of revelation coming to him, not from the spoken word, not from what he's read, not from what Jesus had said to him, not specifically, but putting it all together, and then the Spirit spoke to him. And then there was Simeon, very much a lesser known character from the Bible. He was a righteous and devout Jew. And in his devout prayers, God had already spoken to him and said that he would meet the Saviour before he died. It may have been said years ago. We don't know when it was said to him, but it was said prior to this time. And on this day, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple as a little babe. And as he entered the table, Simeon was in front of them. And he asked to hold the baby. And at that point in time, the Spirit revealed to him that this was the Lord's Christ. An instant revelation from the Spirit that he was holding the babe. Oh, wish I could do that. Not as a baby now, I suppose, but what a privilege he had. What a beautiful time it must have been for him. And then he spoke Well, at least some of us who have been perhaps in the Church of England, perhaps those others do know it as well, what is now called the Nunc Dimittis. He actually said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Simeon then floated away, never to be heard of again in the Bible, never mentioned again, probably obviously seen again, but he went on with his life. But that was an instant in time where the Spirit spoke to him and he interjected into the life of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. The Spirit speaks through little people, if I can call them that, rather than great people. He does it to both. These interjections can also come from Bible study. How many times I've read the same chapter in the Bible and read something new? I've read the same word so many times in the last, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years. But then suddenly you read them again and you think, oh, I never thought of that before. Now this is the interjection of the Spirit, bringing something to your attention at that point in time. You need to think about this. This is very relevant to you at this point in time. But the Lord does speak to you. We should be encouraged to read his word, to pray earnestly, and to seek his guidance, knowing that he wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to be closer to you, because the closer you are to him, the more you understand him, and the better you can be in this life. So never assume that God will not reveal much to you. It's not the privilege of the few to receive from the Father. It's a privilege that each one of us has in our daily lives. If it wasn't the case, he wouldn't have chosen a bunch of fishermen, the disciples that came to reveal things to them. He wouldn't have talked to the woman at the well or spoken to Simeon as he spoke to him. No, we're all precious to the Father, and he wants us to be closer to him. He wants to reveal things to you. But you have to be open to receive. And the more you receive, the more you'll know him, and the closer you'll be to him. I go back to what I started with in saying that we'd run our daily lives and God gets put to one side quite often. We just do things in our own way. And yet, in the lives that we have and the problems we have every day, mostly created by the world around us, not by ourselves, but the problems we have, Jesus knew about and knows about. He too had times of hunger, times of thirst, times of danger, times of persecution, times of ridicule. His life was threatened. And ultimately, of course, he would die an agonizing death. He's experienced everything that we experience. So remember, whatever we suffer in this life, Jesus is there, knowing and sharing with us those trials that we have, but willing at that point in time to share also his wisdom, his revelation. And as I was reminded as I was putting this together, those well-known words which we use quite often, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he wants to share that love with you. But he also wants to share with you his power. Because so much of what we need is his power in our lives. And I think we tend to look at the Bible and look back at power, but we don't see that he has that power now. How's he going to help me? How's he going to be capable of this? But you've got to go back and look at what God's power is. He created this world. He created this universe. He created you. What power? Don't underestimate the power that took, the power that he has. The simple thing we read about parting the Red Sea. Can you imagine the power that takes? That's the power that our Father has. The power to send his Son to earth as a babe. The power to defeat the devil and all his works. The power to raise the sun in the morning that goes across the sky and to hold all those stars in place day by day. Oh, the power it takes is incredible. And we don't understand half of it. We send satellites up, we send people up, and we're just tiny amount we've discovered so far about the power it takes to put it all together and to make it continue to work. You just got to remember that God took all this into account. He built it all. He created it all. He took all that time and trouble and energy to create something for us. That is an awful lot of time, an awful lot of power, and an awful lot of trouble for me and for you. Now, if we accept that, what on earth makes you think that he doesn't want to hold on to you? That he doesn't want to work with you? It's a relationship he's built with you. And he's not going to throw it away. It's only us that can throw it away. He wants to hold on. He wants to take us through. He is an everlasting love for each one of us that will bind us into eternity. That's the gift he's given us. And that's your gift to receive. I say it's for each one of us. The Father doesn't go round saving whole churches, whole nations in one go. It's each individual he saves. That's his personal touch, that personal relationship he builds, brings and builds to you. He saves each individual, and he lives in each individual through his Spirit. Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be buried again in the yoke of slavery. The Lord has and will provide the power you need to stand firm. The Son of God came into the world not merely to procure forgiveness of sins, but also to give us life in him, a fullness of life, as he intended, and that which will never fail. And it is for each one of us, that personal relationship. It won't fail because he will keep it together. He just needs us to follow him. A little bit on in Philippians, we have another verse I want to read to you. I am confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. A prayer that you would know more in the knowledge and the depth, the wisdom that he has to offer. And I love that starting point in that verse. Now, if the Lord has started a good work in you, he will complete it. Never doubt that he is going to hold on. Never doubt that he wants you to stay with him. You may fight against him and probably suffer because of it. You may rebel against him and probably suffer because of it again. You might try and remodel yourself a little bit. But bear in mind, you'll probably get the chisel out and change it back again. If the Lord starts a work in you, he wants to finish it as he wants it finished. He wants you faultless, blameless, and spotless in his presence for eternity. Now, I find that quite incredible. I really do, that he wants to spend all that time and energy to make me... It's a lot of work for him, isn't it, really, to make me spotless. I know all my faults. I know more than you do. But he wants to do that. He wants me to be closer to him, to understand him more, to be with him more. And he wants me to be perfect. And I do find that absolutely incredible. But he has the power. He can do that. So who's in charge of your life? Are you going to let him do what he needs to do? Or are you going to do it your way? Do you want his heart and affection? His gentle spirit living in you? Do you want the greatest comfort in knowing that he walks every step of the way with you? His offer is not a once a day or a once a week brief chat or talk. It's a minute by minute life that you're leading. His way, not your way. So I think what this passage really came back to really is no matter what each day brings, you need to know his love. You need to know his power. Know it all, for it's yours of every minute of every day. It'd be lovely just to feel him holding your hand, guiding you by step as you go. And knowing that if you stumble, he'll pick you up. And it doesn't matter how hard you fall down, he'll still pick you up. That for every tear you shed, it's deeply felt. That every smile you smile, the warmth is through to him. Know that the relationship that you have with the Father is the greatest expression of love and power that's ever been known. That's still tremendous. It is the greatest expression of love and power that's ever been known. Nobody else can show that degree of power and love. Look what he's done. Look what he can achieve. And I pray that the depth of that relationship for each one of us will grow and grow. Let me finish by reading Jude 1:24. Again, very familiar verses, but it sums up what we're saying. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And my prayer is that you would know him more by knowing his word and seeking his voice in prayer. Amen.